Hi, welcome to the fifth episode in Pandrol's original podcast series. And another thing is a half-hour podcast where our people and experts in rail infrastructure connect to discuss some of the industry's biggest issues, trends and developments. Join us every month for a new episode featuring insightful, illuminating chat and debate, news and views about the topics that matter to you and how the rail world moves. Sustainability, it seems like a buzzword nowadays, but what does it actually mean and why is it important? According to the Oxford Dictionary, sustainability is the avoidance of the depletion of natural resources in order to maintain an ecological balance. This is essential for our existence on this planet, and one of the biggest threats to that balance is greenhouse gas emissions. Goals have been set by the European Green Deal to cut 55% of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030 in the process of reaching net zero CO2 emissions by 2050. Railway transport can have a big impact in attaining sustainable and smart mobility, especially if you consider that currently transport is responsible for a quarter of the EU's total emissions. At Pandrol, we're doing our part to achieve those goals by ensuring the products are made sustainably. Our Sustainable Resilient Systems Department has the expertise of delivering products made of recycled end-of-life tyres. Recently, the SRS products have even received environmental product declarations, which is a third-party assessment of the entire product life cycle from acquisition of raw materials and production to packaging and transport. But first, I would like to introduce our guests for today. We have Virginie Telinden, who is a project manager, EPD and environment expert, joining us from CO2 Logic. Jamie Pogson, our USP expert, Pandrol SRS. Thomas Laurent, general manager of Pandrol SRS. And Juan Lascano, communication and sales manager for Pandrol SRS. So Virginie, as our panel expert on the environment, could you give us a small overview of the goals set at the recent COP26?
Yes, sure. But well, you have to know that in general, the conclusions of this COP are rather mixed. There have been some success, but a lot of failures too, on an environmental point of view. So maybe a few words about the big successes of this COP. The first one regarding the carbon market rules. So now, over the next 12 months, a UN supervisory body will develop specific rules for offset project baselines. And so the UN will create and administer a central registry for emissions reduction credits. So this will be more centralized and will have a positive impact. So also, another success is that over 100 countries joined the US-European Methane Pledge. This initiative had been announced in September and launched in Glasgow. And now all the countries that joined the pledge must commit to cutting methane emissions by 30% by 2030 as compared to 2020 levels. Because of the huge impact of methane on the global warming, this is clearly a very big success to have so many countries joining this pledge. Also, another success regarding the deforestation, more than 140 members have signed onto a pledge to halt and reverse the forest loss and land degradation by 2030, while delivering sustainable development and promoting an inclusive rural transformation. This covers more than 90% of Earth's forests, so this is also a very big win against deforestation. Now, as I said, there are also a lot of disappointments from this COP26. The first one is that the world is clearly not on track to keep the warming under 1.5 degrees. So that's clearly a general consensus that even if every country met their Paris and Glasgow commitments, the Earth would still be on track to considerably exceed that 1.5 degree and also the 2 degree ceiling that many scientists consider now as being the point where things get really scary. So that's quite a bad news from this COP26. Also, another bad news is that now we see that the developing countries fail to secure greater adaptation support. So we know that developing nations have contributed to the least to climate change, but now they stand to suffer the worst from its effects. And well, in Copenhagen in 2009, rich nations had promised a substantial financial assistance to those nations to assist with climate adaptations, but they have not kept that promise. And now we see that the new green economy for those countries is only expected to increase in coming years. So a lot too late. Quite mixed conclusions from this COP26.
As previously mentioned, transport currently constitutes for a quarter of the EU's total emissions. Thomas, how significant will the role of the railway industry be in meeting the goals set by the international agreements?
As explained by Virginie a few minutes ago, there is a pledge to reduce and to cut by 30% CO2 emission. Rail in this context can play an important role in the sense that amongst all the means of transport, rail is by far the most green. With 40 to 100 gram per passenger kilometer, rail is champion in the emission of CO2 to transport people, but also transport goods. So to achieve this minus 30%, it is needed to have a model shift from the planes, from the road, to get more passengers into the metros, into tramways, into trains, as well as more freight on the trains. Trains with 40 to 100 gram CO2 per kilometer passengers can do better, and then the rolling stock manufacturers are working hard to substitute diesel trains, which still represent 80% of the trains in the globe, by hydrogen trains or by electrical trains, and to feed those trains by green electricity, like SNCF did recently on some trains. So rail is green and rail is improving. But we should not forget that rail is not only the rolling stock. A big emission of CO2 by the trains and by the metros is about the infrastructure, is to build the rail infrastructure and is to maintain it. So as an industry and as a supplier in this industry, we have the means and the tools to improve the infrastructure footprint during this construction phase and during this maintenance. And for that, we have two means to achieve it. The first one is to have a design to last. If you design a track to last longer with less maintenance, obviously, the CO2 and the other resources you use to create and maintain your track are going to be discounted over a longer period. So having a smart design, a long-lasting design, will allow to decrease your footprint. Also, having green procurement, meaning to procure subsystems or components green when it's possible, when product in recycled or with low CO2 footprint exists, delivering the same or even better performance that product coming from oil, is a duty from the rail industry as a green champion to go for the green procurement. Today, we are going to discuss all of those topics with the team here.
So yes, as Thomas mentioned before, the energy supply will clearly influence the environmental performance of the transport by train, but whatever the energy supply, there will clearly be an advantage to using the train as a means of transportation over other alternatives. Just for example, traveling by private car will generate 3 times more emissions than the train for one person. And for the plane, it's even worse, as it will be about 5 times more emissions than the train for the transportation of one person. And yeah, of course, it will depend on the energy supply, on the whole equipment, and as Thomas said, about the materials that are used for the infrastructure. But in all cases, the train will remain a better alternative in terms of environmental performance.
Yeah, and Virginie, if I may add something on that, we should also consider as an industry, as a rail industry, that the auto industry are not still stands. I mean, that the car industry is moving to the hydrogen, is moving to the electricity, also reducing their footprint, like the plane is going for the biofuel and this kind of technology. So rail, if rail wants to preserve its advantage, its greenness compared to the other transport mean, rail has a duty to continue to improve on the green impact on the air.
As Thomas just mentioned, improvements in the railway industry are necessary despite already having a green status. Jamie, you're very familiar with the production process of Pandrol. What are the major improvements that Pandrol have made so far?
Well, to start with, we've always been very aware of the need to continuously improve and optimise our process as much as possible. And this was to the extent where we completely changed most of our process back in 2020. And this was with the desire not to only optimise the production process, but to also bring a reduction in our carbon footprint. I mean, as well, as a basis for our product, since our origins, in fact, we actively chose to base their construction on recycled material, recycled end-of-life tyres. This means that Pandrol products are sustainable with an extremely low carbon footprint in relation to the industry standard. What we also see with Pandrol's products is that we are not only sustainable from a production and raw material perspective, but we're also sustainable in the form of the positive influence and impact that we have on the track itself when we consider our application of something like an understleeper pad or a floating slab mat, for instance.
As environmentally friendly as that sounds, people could always question that message if it comes from the company itself. How does Pandrol tackle that scepticism, Juan?
Well, I would say categorically that what we do is the opposite of greenwashing. We see that this is a trend today, but for us, sustainability is in our core, it's in our DNA. It has been for decades since our sustainable resilience systems at the very basis and at the core of the technology is the fact that we are based on the fantastic properties of recycled material. For us, sustainability is not a box-ticking exercise. It's not a way just to grab the attention. It's exactly the core of our daily work of our engineers for finding the best solutions based on the high-quality recycled rubber systems that we produce. The thing is that today, it's extremely important, and we are very proud of pushing and be part of the development towards the reduction of the carbon footprint of the railway. And we believe that the best way is to talk, to walk the talk, and to put science and open the discussion in a transparent way. And there is no better way for us than the environmental product declaration. When people talk about greenwashing, there is a problem here sometimes and misconceptions. The environmental product declaration is exactly the scientific objective third-party way where a company can assess itself and publicly offer to the markets and to all the stakeholders exactly the assessment of the carbon footprint that the full supply chain of the production of its systems implies. It's a commitment for us. It's something that we have been doing for decades. And today we are very proud to have started in this direction. Hopefully the whole market is going to start understanding the importance of having this kind of EPD assessment that is going to be required more and more in any railway project in the world. EPD as a third party and objective report and audit will create a clear view and will help railway transport and railway operators to manage, to understand and to assess all the different components that have an influence on the emissions of the track. Like Tomás was explaining at the very beginning, we need to see railway with all the different components of the track infrastructure. And for us today, it's a pleasure to have Virginie, that being an expert on the EPD process, he can help us explaining and understanding the exercise that we did with the EPD, that which foundation is the life cycle analysis of the full supply chain of each product.
So as I said before, the environmental product declaration, so the EPD, is an independently verified and registered document. It's strictly based on science and on facts. And the idea will be to communicate transparent and comparable information about the life cycle environmental impact of the products in a credible way. So the foundation of any EPD will be a life cycle assessment, also called LCA. This LCA allows to evaluate the product's environmental performance over its entire life cycle. So it will be a multi-criteria analysis so that it's not just about emissions, CO2 emissions impact on global warming, but several environmental indicators will be assessed, such as ozone layer depletion, impacts on ecotoxicity, and so on. So the idea behind will be to have an exhaustive view of the environmental footprint of the product. So the scope of the study can vary. In the case of Pandrol, cradle-to-gate analysis have been conducted. So it means that the impact from the raw materials production, the production of the finished products themselves, have been assessed, but also the transportation to the final clients have been included in the calculations. The LCA can also be cradle-to-grave, so impacts of use phase and end of life can also be included or not in the EPD. It's something that is clearly stated in the beginning of the document, and it's decided together when we launched the project. But so, as I said, we will try to cover all impacts from the raw materials production, also the transportation to the production sites, the impact of the transformation and the transportation to the installation site. We will take all the inputs and outputs at each step, all chemicals that are used, so the glues, for example, the impact of recycling the rubber. So the output, so the waste generated on site, will be taken into account. At the end, we will sum up all the impacts related to those inputs and outputs, and we will have a final idea of the environmental footprint of the products. Of course, those analyses, as I said, they have to follow standards. And in this case, we have to follow standards that are laid down at European level, the so-called norm EN15804 norm. And also the calculations, the results, the reports, everything will be third-party verified before the publication of the EPD. So that ensures the neutrality and the transparency of the results that are communicated. So as Juan said before, it's really the best way to communicate about your product environmental performance and to do it in a credible way.
So now my question is, how significant are these declarations? Do you think they could be the future for the railway industry, Thomas?
I think Virginie mentioned a word very important, credible. EPD are a marvelous tool if and because they are credible. The idea behind this tool is really to have a third-party assessment of our production process, of our supply chain, to make sure that we know in and out what are the impact of our product on the environment. And indeed, we tend to speak a lot about CO2, which is an important one for the greenhouse effect, the global warming. But also we speak about product generating acid rains, pollution of the water, nuclear waste. Unfortunately, there is none at all in our product. And this kind of element. And having this process made by a third party, reviewed by an independent, all of that on a scientific base, is the best certainty we have as a company to have a good view on what we generate, therefore how we can act on it and improve, but also for customers to know what they are buying, what kind of impact they will have on the environment using Pendrol product. Another very important element that we have drawn from this exercise is to be able to compare with market average. I've been astonished personally. I know that our products are green because we are recycled, but when we discovered that our products, like a Q-Track embedded trail system, has 8 times less CO2 emission for the same function and for better quality than a port elastomers, port polyurethane to embed the rail, it's something is huge. So a tramway using a product made of recycled rubber is saving tons, thousands of tons of CO2 compared to a liquid elastomer. And the same goes for the mats or for the under-sleeper pads when we have an advantage of factor 2 to 3 compared to mats made of polyurethane foam. Also, the EPD is helping to promote the circular economy. In our case, a tire, when not used in recycling like what you are doing, is landing in the landfill, is landing in the desert, is landing burned in the cement kiln, so creating even more pollution. So the EPD is really a tool independent, giving a true pictures, no greenwashing, of a product that is bringing benefit to the track, removing a problem elsewhere, which is the tire waste. So all of that make a tool that is very powerful for us to progress, but also for a customer to choose the right product. In the tender, we see more and more customers requesting not only a product that is economically and from the technical point of view compliant, but also some products that are green, and EPD is the best tool to assess that.
I think there is a very important word we add in these conversations. We have talked about at the beginning the challenges of the railway industry, the situation today where an assessment and continuous improvement is needed towards one of the capital challenges that as a society we have and the critical role that the railway industry can have. So, and after Thomas' explanation of the central and the pivotal role that the EPD is going to have in the future, I will add one more word, which is responsibility. Responsibility that a company, a global railway supplier leader as Pendrol has with the stakeholders, related also with the responsibility that the infrastructure managers, the railway networks, the operators, the political and public entities, and also the private groups. In the end, everyone has to build up and contribute towards this improvement and this environmental challenge today. The EPD is, for us, the best channel to give the added value to our stakeholders, to the railway networks, to the asset managers, because this is leveling the playing field and also they are going to be able to understand exactly, they're going to have the inputs to assess the best options and to design the track in the most efficient and sustainable way. We see that today, looking at the world from our daily activities, we see that there are many, unfortunately, there are many different stages of development. This is a global challenge, but we see that it's very different, the situation and the concern in railway networks around the world. For instance, in Europe, there is today an established perception and established assessment of the EPD, especially in the Nordics area. We've seen cases like traffic burkett in Sweden, other cases like in Bannenor, where it's already part of the purchasing criteria of the technical assessment. That is a very solid concept. But in other cases, and I'm coming back to the responsibility, in Panderol, we also want to help educate and give this and pass this message to customers and railway networks that are at the beginning and are starting to assess this possibility. So in this broad sense, we want to be part and contribute our share, again, responsibility towards a better and more sustainable railway transport in the future.
Yeah, and just to add to the points of Tamar and Juan, what the EPD provides is, again, not just an insight, rather an extremely detailed breakdown of the entire process. And this leads to a lot of opportunity to understand where improvements can be made in the process and where optimization is necessary. From the perspective of Panderol, thanks to the EPD, we've been able to find out exactly where in our process we generate CO2. And understand these root causes. And this gives us the ability to make more pragmatic decisions on how to next optimize our process, since we always strive for continuous improvement.
Something important to have in mind is that when we contact an EPD, we will have a lot of details regarding the environmental footprint of the product under study only. But this product will now be part of one bigger system. And it's interesting also to take a look at the loads and benefits beyond the system boundaries and to look at the impact the products can have in a broader system with a larger framework. So in the specific case of Panderol, for example, the use of under sleeper pads, whatever the composition, will allow to extend the lifespan of the rails. And so compared to the same rails installed without this type of system, we will have to produce less new rails during the following years. And so we will avoid some emissions later in the value chain of the whole rail system. So the emissions that occur today for the USP production will be later counterbalanced by avoided emissions in another broader system. Well, we can make the parallel with insulation materials for buildings. So the production of those insulation materials has also a non-neglectable impact. But besides, the presence of this material will allow to use less energy to heat the building during its use phase. So, well, we know that the heating generates CO2 emissions. So over the entire life cycle of the building, the impacts associated with the production of the insulation material will be offset by the benefits associated with the reductions of emissions arising from the improved thermal performance of the building. So we can make the same observation in the case of product that I used in the rail system. And so we have the emissions for the production of the USP themselves, but later in the value chain, we can avoid more emissions thanks to the use of those products.
And a final point that I'd like to make, just to add some specific context, I'm going to talk about the under-sleeper pad product again. Using data from the EPD, again highlighting its significance, we've constructed a life cycle study in terms of CO2. And what we see is with Panderol USPs, we benefit the track in terms of carbon footprint from two angles. So the first angle is the production. As has been mentioned before, we use recycled material. It means that our pads have an extremely low carbon footprint in comparison to the industry standard. And this is even before they reach the track. And now the second angle is the direct performance benefits to the track. We see that when we have under-sleeper pads installed, we can extend the typical track's lifetime by at least 5 years and also reduce the need for critical maintenance by a factor 2. Now, maintenance in particular is extremely CO2 heavy, not just as a direct result of the maintenance, but when the track must close for maintenance, passengers may be forced to seek alternative and less carbon-friendly forms of transport for their journeys. So it almost has direct and indirect effects when we use USPs in the track. Now, when we combine this with the extension of the lifetime, we see that Panderol USPs offer a net reduction of 30% CO2 within the track's lifetime. This is a factor that again demonstrates Panderol's contribution to global sustainability.
Lots of interesting information discussed today, but what are the next steps? What should we take away from this discussion, Thomas?
Indeed, we've got many good insights from our experts on the different topics. The main things I would recall and we should take away from this is we have done it. This EPD, this environmental product declaration, has been done by Panderol on its sustainable resilience system product, SRS, which our elastomers use in the track. And I like Lily or Green, those products are that Panduro is really a champion in those kind of products. The main takeaway that we have from the EPD is to be able to optimize our product or systems and the footprint they have on the environmental aspects. Also, thanks to this EPD, are able to feed the infrastructure owners for their own evaluation of their own environmental footprint for their systems, and why not to help them to specify better the environmental impact on the product. Also, we have all in hand to help the infrastructure owner to define the global impact of our product on the global CO2 footprint, and therefore contributing to make the rail a greener system and to get the rail to play its role as a champion on the CO2 footprint and also environmental impact.
Thanks, Thomas. I believe you have some exclusive news to tell us today.
Yes, indeed, Jamie. We have a scoop today. I'm very proud, and we are very proud at Panduro to announce that we are the world's first USP supplier to compensate 100% of the CO2 emission. Not only have a recycled premium USP, we are not only a very low CO2 product, 2 to 3 times less than our competitors, we have also decided to compensate every single CO2 emission of our product by helping projects in third world countries to generate green electricity and avoid to burn some coal, and therefore be able to have a net zero CO2 USP at disposal of the infrastructure manager in the world. So I'm very proud that we have made this step and that we are green and greener, helping the rail to become even greener.
That's great news. Thanks everyone for your time today. It's been really interesting.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for listening. If you would like any more information or have any questions on what our team have discussed today, please get in touch by emailing info@panduro.com. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated. Bye for now.